support comes from Tub Cove. With over 49 years of remodeling bathrooms, Tub Cove can help simplify the process, offering tub and shower replacements and full bathroom remodels. Local and family-owned, with a showroom in Redmond. Designs and information at tubcove.com.
You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. Two Washington state lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle have introduced a plan to limit the data companies can collect from Americans online and restrict how that data is bought and sold. Democratic Senator Maria Cantwell and Republican Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers released a draft of a bill called the American Privacy Rights Act on Sunday. Among its provisions, the draft bill would let users opt out of targeted ads and correct, delete, or export information companies have stored about them. It would also allow individuals to sue businesses over violations of the law. Now, this is not the first time lawmakers have attempted to pass a data privacy bill. A 2022 proposal had bipartisan support and was championed by McMorris Rogers, the chair of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, but it failed, in part because it didn't have the support of Cantwell, who chairs the Senate Commerce Committee. This time, however, they're working together. Kind of a big deal in a Congress as divided as this one. Senator Maria Cantwell and Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers are here, both of them, to discuss the proposed American Privacy Rights Act. Thank you both, Congresswoman and Senator, for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to be with you. Thanks.
So I just want to start with you, Representative McMorris Rogers. What will this legislation do if enacted?
This legislation will give people the right to control their personal information online by establishing a uniform national data privacy rights for Americans. And you know, what we're seeing is a patchwork of state laws becoming the lay of the land. And our privacy protection shouldn't differ across state lines. This proposal is stronger than any state law. It's bipartisan, it's bicameral, establishing one national standard, and is really giving Americans control over where their information goes, who can sell it. It empowers individuals to enforce their data privacy rights. It protects Americans' civil rights and reins in big tech.
Senator, what do you want to add about the practical implications of what's put forward in this draft legislation?
Well, the information age is continuing to unfold. And we just found out recently that AI is really here, that large amounts of data will be scraped off the internet for all sorts of different reasons. Now, we hope they're good reasons, like finding solutions on healthcare or helping our businesses be competitive, or, you know, taking, as somebody recently said, 250 years of chemistry and making it happen in 50 years instead. But we also know that nefarious actors could be using our personal information for things that are not good, whether that's online redlining or prejudice against us because of places we visited or somebody buying it for insurance purposes and charging us a higher rate. So all of these things, we want to give the consumer a policeman on the beat to better protect them. And that's what this legislation does.
Congresswoman, you have previously supported other data privacy bills. Both of you have supported different legislation, but it's never overlapped with both of you supporting the same thing. What makes this legislation different? And I'll start with you, Congresswoman, and then go to you, Senator.
Well, I think it's recognizing that as the respective committee chairs for both the House and the Senate, and both of us coming from Washington State, we had a moment here. I think this is a very important significant piece of legislation that we've been able to build trust and say, you know what, we believe that this needs to happen both for Washington State and the nation, that we've been working on this for years in the House and the Senate, but this is the time. Maria talks about AI, which is here. This legislation is foundational to protecting people online. It's also foundational to protecting our kids online. And between AI and protecting kids online, there's a real sense that Congress needs to act and that we need to be holding platforms accountable when they are, you know, collecting data and creating dangerous algorithms and using it to target individuals, especially our children, for profit. And Congress needs to act to protect our kids and also protect all of us and our privacy rights online.
Senator, the American Data Privacy Protection Act from 2022 was kind of the last big bipartisan push on this issue. You couldn't get to the point of supporting that because of a few different provisions. How did you come to support this current legislation? What needed to happen to get your backing here?
Well, we've been talking literally almost for 4 years about this need for a federal bill. And in 2022, the legislation didn't really have, I think, enough of the teeth that this proposal does. So some of it was working that out and understanding why that was so important to the framework of really creating a policeman on the beat. Right now, most consumers, if they have a beef about some of these websites, you're just going to be in discussion or negotiations with them. You don't have a chance to really go have your day in court if some substantial harm really happened to you. And we want consumers, we want the information age to continue to evolve, but we want consumers to have protections. And we think you have to have a bright line here for the bad actors who are doing things just because they can make a lot of money with your information. And we just don't want that used against you.
We're hearing from the tech industry that they want predictability when it comes to data privacy protection laws. Congresswoman, you already mentioned that there has been a patchwork of legislation passed in a number of different states, California, Colorado, all over the place. Is there an element here, because this legislation will supersede in most cases those state laws, of saying we want to be more like what Europe has done, the GDPR, and just have a uniform set of guidelines that companies can predict?
Well, certainly the goal of having a national standard is important. This bill is very different. This proposal is very different than GDPR. And there's been a lot of concerns about GDPR, how regulatory it is, how costly it is, especially for small businesses. And we've taken that into consideration as we are establishing a national standard to protect people in the United States, no matter where they are. And that's why preemption was important. And we have very strong preemption in this bill. But I would say it also, I would also acknowledge that we're protecting small businesses online. We don't want businesses that are not in the business of selling data to get wrapped up in more requirements or costly regulations. So we're protecting the small businesses, but we do have a very strong enforcement piece for the bad actors when somebody has caused substantial harm by the collection and the selling of data online. But this is very different than Europe. I would say this is the American way. This is providing privacy rights to all Americans.
And we should note that companies with under $40 million in revenue that don't collect a lot of data would be exempt from most of this law, as you mentioned, Congresswoman. Senator, Congress isn't known for bipartisanship lately. I'm sure you have experienced this. What did it take to work across the aisle and talk about the work that your staff and yourself, you know, and your colleagues have been doing in order to actually come forward with something that is supported, you know, with bipartisan backing?
Well, there have been a few examples of good bipartisan, like the infrastructure bill and a few others. But I think really this was Representative McMorris Rodgers and I talking about this issue over, you know, several years and trying to really see what would unlock the level of support by people who, you know, I would say I'm not necessarily, you know, a big fan of the GDPR model either, because while even here in the United States, the FTC has fined, you know, some of these big social media platforms like Facebook $5 billion, you know, but what has that done for consumers? So they might have fined them, but is it stopping the worst behavior that you really think is harming consumers? So we really want to just stop the bad actors. We want to call out what we think are bad activities, and we want somebody to help enforce that. And so that's what this legislation does, by giving consumers a right on their personal data to be asked about it. And then having that right, if there has been substantial harm, being able to take that right to court. So we think that's a better framework than just creating a huge, you know, bureaucracy and then trying to chase, you know, some of these people. This tool, we think, will be a much better tool. A much, you know, having a statute that says consumers' information has to be protected is a very good foundational statute for the information age.
Congresswoman, just final question before we go. I know you've announced that you will not be running for re-election. You've been working on data privacy for years now. Nobody wants to hear the legacy word during this time, especially because you have so much more work to do. But is there a sense of, you know, business that you want to finish before you end up leaving office?
Well, sure. This has been a long time priority of mine since I was the ranking Republican on the subcommittee in the House, right? So this has been several Congresses where we have been working on establishing this national privacy data security law that I believe is very important to protecting people online. And I'm, you know, now that I'm the chairman of the committee, I had announced from the very beginning that this was priority for me, this Congress. I believe that it was always going to take Republicans and Democrats coming together. The work that has been done by Senator Cantwell, as well as myself, and years worth of work has laid a strong foundation for where we find ourselves today. But you know, they often say there's nothing like an idea whose time has come. And I really believe that it's been years of work leading up to this moment where we can reach an agreement that is needed in America. We need it. It's foundational for protecting us online when it comes to AI, protecting our kids online. We have very strong protections for kids under the age of 17. The targeting, the tracking of kids online is prohibited, and the collection of sensitive data. So I think it's really an idea whose time has come, and I'm excited about us working together to get this onto the president's desk this year.
Senator, any final thoughts before we go?
Just thank you for the interview. And I think that I just hear from consumers all the time, story after story, and they're just escalating. They're escalating in the, you know, I ran into a woman at the airport whose aunt was being duped out of thousands of dollars because somebody had sent her an AI video of Kevin Costner saying he wanted to come and visit this woman. And the woman really believed it. And so the poor, you know, niece of this woman was trying to get people to pay attention and to tell her aunt, no, this is not real. These are people that it looks like Kevin Costner and he's talking to you, but it's not. And so I just don't know what's next to come. And so let's get a tool that really does help protect consumers, and let's get it implemented now.
Senator Maria Cantwell and Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers, thank you very much for being here to talk about the new bill. And we'll be following it as it works its way through the process. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
We should say that this idea is a long way from the finish line. The American Privacy Rights Act still needs to be introduced and hammered out in respective committees in the House and Senate before it would get a shot at becoming law. If it does go the distance, how would the new national data privacy standard work? And how would it compare to regulations in Europe and some U.S. states? For those answers, I'm turning to Alex Albin. He teaches privacy and cybersecurity at UCLA's School of Law and at the University of Washington School of Law. Albin was also the first chief privacy officer for Washington State from 2015 to 2019. Hi, Professor. Thanks very much for being here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. It's exciting that we have another privacy bill introduced in Congress, and maybe this one will succeed where others have failed.
So we just heard from Senator Cantwell and Representative McMorris Rogers about why they are excited about the bill and they're going to be working hard to get it passed. But for folks who are coming to this issue for the first time, what's important here? What do you see in this bill that people should know about?
People should understand that the United States is behind in privacy protection. We're not only behind the rest of the world, but we're behind other neighboring states. And there are two forces that are now driving privacy legislation, including this bill. One is that the European Union, several years ago, passed a very comprehensive privacy law. And that's important because many American corporations, such as Microsoft and Google, already have updated their systems and their data collection practices to comply with the European law. That's a major force behind equalizing protection for Americans with the rest of the world. The other force is that California has led about 15 other states to pass separate state privacy laws. The California law is the most comprehensive, the best known. It's called the California Consumer Privacy Protection Act, and it protects four basic rights. It gives people the right to access their data, to correct the data that a company or organization is keeping about them, and to delete data. Otherwise, it allows you to opt out of the company selling or sharing your data to others. So that set a floor for this new legislation, which adopts some of those same measures. And I think it's important to have a federal bill, because why should people in California have greater privacy rights than people in Idaho or Alabama? That doesn't make sense.
I find this part to be interesting, and I'd love to hear you explore it more. This new proposed bill would allow people to opt out of algorithms making decisions for them when it comes to employment, housing, and education. What do you make of that, and how it would practically affect somebody's experience on a website or on a social app?
I think that would be very difficult to implement. Already, it's illegal to discriminate in housing and in employment. We should make that clear. There are laws in every state that prevent that. The question is whether a computer program is somehow enhancing that or adopting those bad practices, which I think are already illegal. It might be hard for a company to understand what is it in their database that might lead to an outcome that we would call a discriminatory. Probably the best thing is to require companies to audit their processes and test their processes, and also make them transparent so that outside testers can come in and say, yeah, we don't think your program is working the same way that you say it's working. Those things, I think, would go a long way to actually preventing what we call algorithmic discrimination.
Opting out of targeted ads, that's a key principle of this new proposed legislation. Under GDPR, under the California law, and some of the other tighter state laws that have been passed, are we seeing a lot of people taking advantage of that? I mean, has that affected the way that companies approach things, or are we mostly seeing business as usual?
This is a really important question. There's two ways of looking at this. It's good to give an option to people to opt out of a practice that a company is doing. But we have found, if you look at California in particular, very few people take advantage of this opt-out choice. And I know that it's very annoying for people when they visit a website to have that cookie pop up, say, do you accept cookies? What kind of cookies do you accept? How about strictly performance related? I don't think the average person can really understand what those choices are.
Honestly, Alex, since those started popping up, and you know, you've seen a proliferation of them after GDPR passed in Europe and in the California privacy law passed, I roll over like a guinea pig, like defeated, just, you know, take my soft underbelly, companies. I'm overwhelmed. And I think a lot of people might feel the same way.
Libby, you are not alone. Most people, when they are confronted with something and they have another goal, which is just take me to the page, just take me to the task at hand, they just accept it without reading. And we know this because studies have been done on the acceptance of privacy policies and acceptance of terms of service. It was never intended that the California law be implemented through this cookie pop-up. It doesn't say that in the law. This is an interpretation that companies have had in order to implement it. And frankly, I don't like it. As a privacy advocate, I don't think opt-out is the way to go. If someone is going to sell or share your information without your consent, it should be opt-in, not opt-out. The European law is a more opt-in approach. So we have seen very low uptake rates, unfortunately, for the California law, not the least reason being that are you going to go to hundreds of companies that have your data, individually find the right page on the website, and then prove who you are and then opt out? The average person, even a sophisticated user, law professor, does not have the time to go to hundreds of different websites and opt out. I think an opt-in approach would be a lot better. And unfortunately, this new bill is mostly an opt-out.
So the FTC is meant to enforce these proposed regulations under the Cantwell and McMorris-Rogers bill, but there's also the right included here for individuals to take companies to court. And this is something that Cantwell wanted to be in the bill. That's why she didn't support the 2022 effort. Why is that right to individual lawsuits important?
This is called the private right of action, and it is important because the FTC in particular is busy. They have a lot of consumer laws to enforce, and they have limited resources. If something is particularly important or pervasive, there should be an option for an individual or group of individuals to take that bad actor to court. The issue, I believe, in this bill was they were going to delay this private right of action by 2 years, and they decided not to have a delay period. I think that's good. The important thing is that we have multiple enforcement mechanisms because we want companies to do the right thing, and we actually want to make it easier for them to comply, not harder. But having the threat of legal action should be spurring them to comply with the new law. And so that's one aspect that I think is a good thing.
There are companies and the industry overall that will argue that what Europe did was anti-competitive, that it will harm in the European Union the ability for companies to be on the cutting edge of developing great products because of what they see as this heavy regulatory set of guidelines, regulatory framework. And I could tell Senator Cantwell and Representative McMorris-Rogers when I brought up comparisons to the GDPR with this new American Privacy Act, they didn't like those comparisons. They don't want to be compared to the GDPR. So I just would love your response to, you know, how do you think this proposed law compares, and why do you think it's so uncomfortable for the comparisons to be made?
It's a very interesting question.
I see you smiling there. I just want to note you smiled at that, the fact that they didn't like the comparison.
I've written a law review article about the different perspectives between Europe and the United States when it comes to privacy. And the European philosophy is, before you let the kids into the playground, let's make the playground safe. Let's test all the slides and all the swings and the sand. And let's take years doing that to make sure that we have the safest possible environment. The American approach has been, let the kids get into the playground and get messy, and let's see who gets hurt, and let's see who gets a bump on the knee, and then we'll take care of the problem retroactively. This allowed, in a broad sense, the whole growth of the internet in the United States, led by American companies, that created a huge amount of wealth, a huge amount of jobs, a huge industry sector that the Europeans don't have. So in a way, you can say, well, it's easy for the Europeans to regulate American companies because, frankly, they don't have a stake in the game. However, that's not to say that the European approach lacks merit. There are important things that need to be done to protect user data, to protect us from surveillance, to stop really invasive profiling of individuals. And there is a need for those type of laws. So I think what we're seeing now is that America is catching up in the balance. Is it going to be led by the states, or is it going to be led by the federal government? The Cantwell McMorris-Rogers bill is an attempt to set a strong floor for privacy protection for the United States. And yet, as you know, Congress has been very slow to adopt any type of, you know, comprehensive privacy bill. And so I think most of us are remaining skeptical about whether this has a chance to succeed or not.
Yeah, not just privacy bill, any kind of regulation of the tech industry. It has been molasses, or anything slower than molasses. I don't even know what that might be. Professor, before we go, you know, what are you going to be watching for as this plays out? Obviously, there's going to be heavy lobbying as the respective bills go to their committees in the House and Senate. There's potential for some of the teeth to be stripped away. What will you be following as this effort at passing a privacy standard goes forward?
Well, we should look to see the way the bill is amended, if it is amended significantly in committee. But I think the real test is going to be, can it come to a floor vote? That was not the history of the earlier privacy bill that came up 2 years ago. It did not even get a floor vote. And I am, as I said, a little bit skeptical that this bill is going to get scheduled in this session, either in the House or in the Senate. And yet it seems to me that privacy should be a bipartisan issue. We all care about our data. We care about not being surveilled by a company or by the government. And so at its root, it seems that privacy is a basic protection that both Republicans and Democrats can get behind, and we would love to see some relief. Otherwise, we are going to continue to see states pass their own privacy laws, and we will have different approaches taken by different states.
You know, there's another issue that I was hoping to get to today, but we just ran out of time. And that has to do with sort of the anti-competitive nature of this and the portability of your data. It's not just about privacy, right? It's like the right to take your data elsewhere, export it and go to a competitor. But that's for another day, Professor. There's so much to talk about, and I hope we can have you on again soon. Alex Albin teaches privacy and cybersecurity at UCLA School of Law. Professor, thanks very much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me today. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thanks for listening to Soundside. This show is only possible because listeners support us. If you're able to give right now, please check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.